Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 with a very exciting live studio audience. That was just about the most robust live studio audience we have had in years. And we want to thank everyone who reached out and said, Rabbi, where are you? What is going on? Because yes, we have taken 2 weeks off of the Money Motivation podcast and people want to know what's going on. And don't worry, you who have been waiting glued to your podcast channels will be rewarded to know exactly why it is that I was not recording the last 2 weeks. And that was because we were on the most incredible Italy journey with Olami 613 here in Chicago, along with our colleagues in St. Louis and their incredible young professionals, Olami St. Louis. It's really such a good Midwest vibe between Chicago and St. Louis. I know, all of the baseball rivalries aside, it was a wonderful group and it blended so beautifully. And before we dive in, the plan is to do at least two parts of our Italy journey. This first part will be from where we landed in Florence up until Rome. And then next week will be Rome. The only question I have is if Rome will be one or two podcasts. There's so much to share, but we're going to rock and roll and see what we can do. Now, just before we get to the actual podcast of the trip, people oftentimes ask me, Rabbi, why are you going on these trips? Why are you bringing young professionals around the world, around America, by the way, and around the world to various destinations? It definitely is an investment on our part. We're investing a tremendous amount of funds, of scholarship money, and to make it enticing and exciting. But that is exactly where we want our investments to go, into people who are going to take a week, a little bit more off of their regular lives to be able to invest in their Jewish identity. And what better way to appreciate how awesome, amazing, special, unique, and privileged we are to be Jews than to zoom in on different parts of links of the chain of the Jewish people who gave their lives consistently, not only dying for being Jewish, but living for being Jewish over various millennia and various centuries in different locations throughout Italy. And we only scratch the surface. But Italy has, in particular Rome, has the longest diaspora community in the world. 2,200 years. In the times of the Maccabees, the times of Hanukkah, it's crazy. The Maccabees sent a delegation to Rome to be able to ask Rome to help them in their fight against the Syrian Greeks, Antiochus. And since then, the Jews have been in Rome and Italy for 2,200 years. And they have their exact lineage, family trees dating all the way back to those original people. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And so how inspiring is it to take a group of young professionals from Chicago and St. Louis and go to an absolutely gorgeous country and to see how the Jewish people lived, how they were persecuted, how they overcame their persecution, and how they came to thrive in the country of Italy. All right, so I'd like to start now with where we started, which we flew in. We left a Motze Shabbos, a Saturday night, and December 27th, and flew overnight through Munich into Florence. And we began our trip with, we pedal to the metal right from the beginning. We did not slow down one moment. We went up to an overlook of the city of Florence, Michelangelo's Plaza, I believe it is called, and it's this most gorgeous view, and it was at night, and we were able to see really the skyline, and not just skyline, actually the buildings of Florence. And obviously there are many domes there, three main domes, two of them churches, but one of them was the main synagogue of Florence. And our tour guide, who I just want to give a shout out to, J-Roots, which is an incredible touring organization, and they are absolutely incredible. We had the founder of J-Roots, Rabbi Tzvi Sperber, which is a true honor for us. He made the trip absolutely spectacular. And he pointed out the theme of Florence. Florence is the great seat of the Renaissance. The Renaissance. That the non-Jewish world came out of the Dark Ages. And it's very interesting because for the Jewish people, it was not a Dark Age. That was one of our greatest times of the Rishonim, the great medieval scholars. We were doing great over there. We always were using our thinking caps. But the Renaissance signaled for the non-Jewish world a return to Greek culture, a return to art, and less bound by the classic church motifs. And it was a tremendous time of creativity, and Florence was the epicenter of that. And it brings out an amazing question. What is the purpose of beauty? What is the purpose of art? What is the purpose of craftsmanship? What is the purpose of philosophy? Is it an end in of itself? Is it something that is going to lead to moral debauchery? Or is it going to lead to moral elevation? And Rabbi Tzvi pointed this out so beautifully, because on Michelangelo's Plaza up there, we had the famous statue of David. Now, he's all over the place. King David, the statue of Michelangelo, was incorrect for a few reasons. First of all, he has no clothes on. I actually shared a picture where I photoshopped some shorts on King David. So, first of all, King David would never go out without any clothes on, so that's one. But second of all, sorry for those a little squeamish, King David was not circumcised in the statue, and none of these statues were circumcised of Jewish people. Oh my God, you know, Michelangelo, come on. You know, King David had a circumcision. He had a priest. Come on, you got this. You have to figure this one out. But Reb Tzvi brought up a beautiful point. He said, look across the river, and it was exactly in a line. The synagogue of Florence, which is absolutely stunning and beautiful, second maybe only to the synagogue in Rome, which is even more breathtaking, but both of them are absolutely breathtaking. And then right across was this naked statue of King David. And the question becomes with the Renaissance. And it comes with our world, because we live in a very Renaissance type of beautiful world, is how do we use our beauty? How do we use our beauty? Is it for a self-indulgent end, or is it for a higher purpose? The synagogue is using beauty, the beauty of architecture and art, and stunning, to elevate God in this world, or is it to elevate the human naked body, a descent into animalism? And that really was a theme of Florence and something very relevant to our lives. We then, the next morning, took a walking tour of Florence and saw the coat of arms of the Medici family. They were the main machers. They were the main people in Florence and major supporters of the Renaissance, etc., etc. Now, they had a coat of arms, and it brought up a very interesting question of coat of arms. And there was a famous Jew named Moses Montefiore who also had a coat of arms, because he realized that with his wealth, he could do some incredible, incredible things, like build the new city of Jerusalem, among other things. And Reb Tzvi told an amazing story about Moses Montefiore. He was a multi-millionaire even back then. And he also, in addition, was dispersed, the tzedakah money, much of it, of Judah Turo from New Orleans, Louisiana, believe it or not, where we used to live and still have very close friends there. And so Moses Montefiore, someone was a little chutzpah and asked him, how much are you worth? Now, he probably should have said, I'm worth millions. Moses Montefiore, now the month was January, it's the beginning of the year, and Moses Montefiore said, I'm worth 11,000 pounds. And the person looked at him and said, only 11,000 pounds? You're worth millions. And Moses Montefiore turned back into him and he said, I have only dispersed, I've only given out 11,000 pounds of tzedakah this year so far. And that is my true worth. Wow. Wow. It was worth going to Italy to be inspired by a coat of arms of the Medici family to then be connected to the coat of arms of the Montefiore family to hear that story. You are worth only that which you give to others and not that which you take for yourselves. Then in Florence, we had an amazing, absolutely fascinating vignette at the Basilica of Santa Croce. I have no idea if I said Croce right, but we're going to say it that way. And there was a famous Jewish architect named Niccolò Matis di Ancona, and he was hired to do the facade of many of these churches. This was his most famous one, and it is absolutely stunning. Now, somehow he got by the church that there's a huge blue, absolutely stunning navy blue Magen David right in the top center of the facade. Now, to be explained to us that the Magen David was also an acceptable and honorable, acceptable symbol of the church as well. So actually very, very, very fascinating. What was interesting and where Niccolò becomes part of this discussion is that he, even though he kept Shabbos, and so there was no working on this facade either on Saturday because of his Shabbos or Sunday because of the church Shabbos, they all were turns in debt to him. And he said he wanted to be buried inside that basilica, which is crazy. A Jew should not be buried in any Christian cemetery, more or less a church. But sadly, his work of his hands went to his head. The beauty overcame his moral compass. And sadly, he requested to be buried inside the church. Now, the church was in a bit of a pickle. They didn't know what to do. So what did they end up doing? They still refused him, but they put him right outside. Now, it's very interesting. So literally, when you walk up to the church, now, we didn't go into the church. Jews don't go into churches. But when you walk right up to the church, he's right there. So people literally will walk over him going in and out of the church. And there's a little bit of symbolism over there that the church was basically telling him, even though they quote-unquote honored him with being right outside the church, it was a little bit of a double-edged sword because they were literally tramping over him and saying, Jew, as much as you want to come in and be part of this culture where some very famous people, Michelangelo and others, are buried, we are not going to let you come close. This is a common theme among us. This is the anti-Semitism we're facing now. Many of our brothers and sisters are running headlong to assimilate, and the non-Jewish culture will remind them that they're different. If we do not positively identify as Jews, then sadly, the non-Jews will remind us negatively. As we've said before here, if we don't make Kiddush, if we don't sanctify our Jewish identity and Jewish pride, then the goyim, the non-Jews, will make havdalah. They'll make a distinction, and usually that is with fire. That is not as fun. Okay, we continued on to the famous Ponte Vecchio. Yes, I don't know if I said it right, but we'll try. Ponte Vecchio is an old bridge. It's over the Arno River. It's over 1,000 years old. It'd been, reconstructed a few times. And that we took a great group pic over there because you just have to, and that's pretty awesome. Now, then we explored the Florence Synagogue, which we mentioned before, is absolutely stunning and really bespeaks of the beauty that has been invested to a higher spiritual level. We had a beautiful discussion there. Rabbi Archie Schupp, who is one of our mentors, one of the key components of our trips with mentors. And so Archie Schupp gave an absolutely fantastic talk about tefillah and what it means in prayer. And it really means that connection, that talking to Hashem. So throughout this touring, we're giving over beautiful and very powerful Jewish ideas. We did see Platform 16, a Holocaust memorial, which is one of the only one of the only monuments to the Holocaust in an actual train station that is still being used. And that was very, very powerful. Literally people walking around, noticing, not noticing, but it was to the thousands of Jews who were deported from Italy to Auschwitz. Now, how many were? It's up to about 10,000 were deported. Italy did actually very well, the non-Jews, in terms of hiding the Jews. So props to them. But sadly, still, from 1943 and on, was the end of a lot of the Jewish community in Italy. We went on the next day to Pisa, which is the Leaning Tower. And it actually is a ton of fun. It's definitely worth going, taking pictures. And the group really had an incredible time walking all the way up, seeing the incredible view of this bell tower, and then walking down. Later on, we went to the Shul of Pisa. There actually is a synagogue of Pisa. And I gave a class about life balance. I thought it was appropriate that we talk about balance, which is basically measured in our relationships. There are three types of relationships: relationships between us and other people, relationships between us and God, and the third relationship is between us and ourselves. And when we have balance in all three of those areas, that's what Judaism and Torah calls a balanced life. So if things feel out of whack, then there's at least one of those three that needs attention: my relationship with God, my relationship with others, or the relationship with myself. One example of relationship to myself is, how much sleep do you get? Are you eating the right foods? Are you taking care of yourself, etc.? And the others are on and on as well, in terms of the examples of what it means to live a balanced life. We then went on and left Florence and went to one of the most beautiful places. Rabbi Tzvi said throughout the trip that Hashem has blessed Italy with incredible beauty, and he is so right. There was absolutely stunning countryside, and we got to, I just can describe it as like Masada, like this mountain fortress, and it's like a butte in Arizona, but there was an entire city on the top of that butte, and then literally nowhere around it. You'd have to scale the mountains up. In 1961, there was a bridge that was built, and we went there to take pictures. It was a little bit of Jewish presence at one point, but not so much. But we just went there to see Hashem's incredible beauty and this incredible town. And then afterwards, we went to a place called Petigliano. In English, you would phonetically say Petigliano, but the G is a silent, and it's called Petigliano. And Petigliano, they called it La Piccola Jerusalem, which means the little Jerusalem. Now, this was when the Jews were pushed out of the Papal States in the 1500s, but it could be the Jews were even there before then. And the non-Jewish family there, the Medici Orsino family, decided that they realized that Jews are helpful to have around and good to have around. And so they protected them. And so the Jews flourished in this town and they preserved this community. Now, this community ended in 1943 for obvious reasons, but had a 600-year run, which is not bad. Pretty impressive. Okay, there was a shul there that they had redone, and a mikvah, kosher slaughterhouse, and a wine cellar, and a matzah oven. And so we went from each stage, from each room to room, showing that if you have a group of Jews together, do you know what it means? It means that there's certain basic fundamental core institutions that you need to have. The first building, by the way, fun fact, what is the first building that a Jewish community needs to build? Drum roll, please. A school? No. A synagogue? No. A bakery? No. Kosher pizza shop? Close. A mikvah. A mikvah is halachically the first one, because a husband and wife, in terms of intimacy, cannot be together without the woman going to the mikvah after her menstrual cycle. That's another schmooze for another time. The secret sauce for Jewish romance to last for decades and decades in marriage. Again, a different schmooze for a different time. But a mikvah is there. And as well as the matzah oven. It was absolutely incredible in terms of seeing the consistency of the Jewish community. And then we had Romanian sausage over there at the Schlachthaus and the slaughter place and the processing of the meats and the kosher wine cellar. It was just incredible to see. It was all in one little area. And the point of me telling you this is something that Rabbi Tzvi said, which was super, super powerful. He said, you can be Jewish anywhere, but you can only keep Judaism in a community. Now let that sink in, people. You can be Jewish anywhere, but you can only keep Judaism in a community. Now think about the American Jewish community right now. As soon as driving became okay on Shabbos, Jews live all over the place. They're scattered. And that is one of the beautiful outcomes of not driving on Shabbos, that you need to be in walking distance of the synagogue and the communal institutions. And that community stays together. And people in the burbs are scattered and have an increasingly tenuous connection to anything Jewish, and people in the city, sadly. And so this was a powerful message. And many times we have gotten through on these trips the idea of Jewish responsibility and Jewish pride, and that you are a link in the chain. And that certainly happened this trip. But this trip, there was this message that I'm not sure we had ever gotten through more clearly. And a few of the young professionals said as much in their final statement, that they realized that they can be Jewish anywhere, but they can only keep Judaism in a community. And if we got that across to them, then it was worth all of the money and all of the time and all of the effort to make this journey a reality. And as we conclude, maybe that is something that we can think of in our lives. How can we attach ourselves to a Jewish community with greater strength, with greater dedication, with greater passion, because we can only keep Judaism in a community. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to continuing our Italy journey with you again next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivations.